the book of Proverbs this evening as we go over to Proverbs chapter number 22. And as I was perusing through and noticing that there is another treasure here involved in the Word of God in Proverbs chapter number 22 for us this evening. And we're going to find it out here this evening of what the treasure of a good name. The treasure of a good name. I was very fortunate to be a son of a father that had a good name. And my father would sometimes tell me, he would say, "Son, you're a Cox, and remember that." And because he had a good name, I had, there was four different occasions where I actually was able to get very good jobs before I went into the ministry because of the good name of my father. They hired me not because I was a good worker, not because I was a skilled person, not because I had a college degree. No, they hired me because my daddy was Timothy Clyde Cox. That's why they hired me. That's the only reason they hired me. And he'd say, "Son, you're going on my good name, on our good name." And I took that seriously. I really did. As a teenager and as a young adult, I took that very seriously. My daddy was he is still today an honorable and a good man. And I appreciate him. I love him. Looking forward to seeing him here in a couple of weeks and, Lord willing. But nonetheless, there's a lot to be said about a good name. A good name. And perhaps there's nothing more valuable to a person, a man or a woman in this world than like a good name. It can accomplish much. A good name can set you before kings. A good name can give you opportunities and privileges in which you never could have had, even if you possessed all the money in the world. The old saying goes like this. It says, it doesn't matter what you have or what you know. It's about what? Who you know. It's about who you know. And a lot of times, that's how life works. You could be very rich and powerful and a VIP in some cases, and yet not be able to go inside of the president's Oval Office. But yet, if you possess the last name of the president, then, oh man, you're his son or you're his little darling daughter. You know what? A good name matters. Matters what your name is. You can walk right in and see Daddy whenever time you like to. A good name does a lot for you. But how do you get a good name? How do you obtain such favor? For these two right here we see tonight, a good name and loving favor go hand in hand, as Solomon puts them and he relates them. It was this couple, a loving favor and a good name, that sent Joseph before Pharaoh. It was this pair that gave David such love with the men of Israel. Even our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, had a relationship with this duo. We'll see a little bit later on. And it would be wise for us to learn how we obtain the same thing. It's a good treasure. In fact, the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 22 and verse number 1, very plainly that it is worth more than a treasure. A good name, in fact, is rather to be chosen than what? Great riches. And loving favor rather than, look at that, silver and gold. The Bible tells us that a good name is rather to be chosen rather than great riches and loving favor rather than silver and gold. In fact, as you read from this verse down to about verse number 5, this is a verse, these verses are all about what true riches are about and really where true riches come from. As it says in verse number 2, the rich and poor meet together. The Lord is maker of them all. It doesn't matter if you're rich. It doesn't matter if you're poor. God made both of you. And then again in verse number 4, by humility and the fear of the Lord are riches, honor, and life. We find in the God's Word where true riches come from and really what is more valuable than even the silver and gold that this world possesses. Well, first thing I want to do tonight is this. I want us to ask a question to ourselves. How do we get such a name? / favor. How do we obtain this particular things? Well, I'm glad the text tells us, aren't you? It says a good name is rather to be what? Does anybody see it? Chosen. A good name is rather to be chosen. And if you had a choice tonight and somebody put it out there in front of you and said, okay, Luke, I've got a box here, and whatever you choose from these boxes, you'll have. You'll have it for the rest of your life, okay? And Luke, I'm going to give you a choice. I'm going to give you a choice. Number one, I'm going to give you a choice of a good name. All right, inside there, you'll reach inside of there, and that will be a good name. It'll be for you for the rest of your life. Or Luke, the other thing that I'm going to give you are great riches, silver and gold, okay? Now, I think most of us, if we were honest with ourselves, might for a split second, at least for a split second, think about that decision. And I don't think that's stupid. I don't think that's unwise to do. I think that's just saying, you know what? We make decisions. We think about things, okay? Great riches, silver and gold. I mean, you could even think of that in an unselfish way, couldn't you? You could think to yourself, well, I wouldn't have to, you know, work as hard. Maybe I could provide better for my family. I could maybe try to help out missionaries, or I could maybe try to do some good with that silver and gold, you know. And you could look at silver and gold. Money's not inherently a bad thing, all right? It's the love of that money. That's what makes it evil. And so you wouldn't be foolish, but you might be a little unwise to just say, well, I'm using this one or that one. It's wise. Let's think about it. What should we choose? The Bible says, if given a choice, then we should choose a good name. It's rather to be chosen than great riches. And loving favor is rather to be chosen than silver and gold. Silver and gold. A decision must be made. Now, the problem is this, isn't it? None of us are going to be presented, perhaps, with two boxes. One labeled a good name and one labeled great riches. We're not going to usually, perhaps, get a choice in life of what we want, but we prove out those choices in how we live. We prove out those choices in how we live. A decision must be made for a good name. Because there are many people that have even had a good name, but have given up a good name for great riches. You call somebody like that a sellout. Call them a sellout. They sold out. Maybe it was some lawyer that went into being a lawyer for good reasons, and he had a desire to help people, to maybe see people that were truly hurting, that were truly wronged and disadvantaged, and maybe that in his mind and in his heart, he really went into law school so that he could probably try to help those people that were in difficult situations. But, you know, whenever the class action lawsuit came down and it was a determination between, you know, himself getting perhaps $50,000 or perhaps getting nothing. But, you know, I'm not really going to help these people out. I'll tell you what, it's hard in those situations. What does he do? What does she do? What will we do in a particular situation if given the opportunity? People sell out all the time. They sell out their reputation, their name, and their honor for money. And how many people have done this? Untold millions, perhaps. And how many more would sell out for much more? How many more would sell out for money, for popularity, and for fame? How many people would sell out today if given an opportunity to be a rock star? How many? If to be an NFL football player or to be an NBA basketball star, how many people would sell out? How many Christians would sell out? And say, you know what, I'm just going to do that. Forget everything else. I'm selling, I'm getting rid of all of that because I want those money. I want the great riches. God knows the heart. And He knows our hearts. And I believe the numbers would surprise us. I believe it would be much more than we expected. And I would pray that God would help us not sell out. So But the thing is this, is that there's a decision that needs to be made. A decision in the heart, a decision in the mind, a decision of the will. What would we do? A decision not to be a sellout. Not to be a Judas, right? Am I right? Not to be a Demas. Demas hath left us having loved this present world. Not to be a Judah. He sold out his little brother, Joseph. That we would trade a little bit of the world's goods for the riches of heaven. That we wouldn't be even a Hezekiah. You see, I thought Hezekiah was a good king. He was. He was a very good king. He was a godly king, one of the most godliest kings of all time. But the problem with Hezekiah is that in the end, after God even gave him 15 extra years on his life, that he became proud and he came lifted up in his pride. And when the Babylonian princes showed up at his doorstep, he didn't just kind of take them around and give them a little tour. No, he gave them the grand tour. He took them down to the temple. He took them to the king's court. He took them everywhere and he showed them all the gold and all the silver. He showed it all to them and he said, man, look at the glory. Look at the splendor of Judah that Jerusalem has. And Isaiah came to him after he left. He says, who are these guys? And he tells him who it was. And he says, let it be known unto you, Hezekiah. He says, because you've shown him all of these things and been lifted up in your pride. He tells him that your sons and your son's sons will suffer the damage of it. And they will come in, the Babylonians will, and they'll take all of this gold from it. You know what Hezekiah has the nerve basically to say, and this is not King James English, this is just my own interpretation, is that he basically just says this, well, at least it won't happen to me. Well, at least it won't happen to me. What a wicked response that he had. We must determine to decide from day one not to sell out to the crown for the prospect of money or fame or fortune. We must dare, even as the song says, I love the song, we must dare to be a Daniel. Daniel was not a sellout, I'll tell you that. I mean, his whole life he wasn't a sellout. From the very beginning to the very end, the old song says, standing by a purpose true, heeding God's command, honoring them, the faithful few, all hail to Daniel's band. It goes on and says, mighty men are lost, daring not to stand, who for God had been a host by joining Daniel's band. And what a good thought that is. How many people that were out there that could have really served God and really been a part of God's host and really stood up. I mean, could we not have filled this up, this church up, three times over perhaps, and even more, had those been faithful that have been here over the last 38 years? Some have died and some have gone on to other places, no doubt about that, and served in other ministries. But I'll tell you this, there's a great host of people, not in just this church, but in many churches all across America and all across the world, that people have come in and they come and they go and they're unfaithful and they give up on God and they give up on God's house and they give up on God's plan. God's plan is the church, my friend. Many giants, great and tall, stalking through the land, headlong to the earth would fall if met by Daniel's band. Hold the gospel banner high, on to victory grand. Satan and his hosts defy and shout for Daniel's dare, Daniel's band. Oh, shout for Daniel's band. Dare to stand alone. Dare to have a purpose true. Dare to make it known. Daniel stood alone and he wasn't afraid to make it known. When Belteshazzar came to him at the end of his life, basically, he's an old man, close to it, and Belteshazzar says, hey, there's this handwriting on the wall, and this man comes down and, you know, writes the letters, you know, my best way of saying it, meaning tickle oopsin right there on side of the wall. Daniel comes down and he interprets the saying and he says, man, hey, I'm going to give you a gold chain. I'm going to give you, make you second in command. I'm going to give you all these things. And Daniel says, no, I don't want it. I don't want it. I don't want any of that. And it's a good thing he didn't. Because that very night, the Persians came in and killed Belteshazzar and all the leaders in Babylon. Good thing Daniel said, you know what? I don't want any of that. That doesn't mean anything to me. Whenever they came to him about the meat, what did he say? He said, no, I'm not going to have that. He had purpose in his heart not to defile himself with the king's meat. Whenever they talked to him about praying to his God, did he sell out then? Didn't sell out then. Not one time did he sell out. Fame sometimes is not always what it is cracked up to be, is it? You ever heard of a famous actor named Robin Williams? Owned a several hundred acre Napa Valley vineyard, other many homes worth millions and millions of dollars. Yet he found him one day all alone by himself, dead, having taken his own life. But many times we're deceived. We say things like, well, I could handle it. That was him, not me. Be careful. A good name is a choice. You don't wake up one day with a good name. You don't wake up with a good name. It's a lifetime of good decisions and good choices. You know, even though my dad was good about in the sense that he had a good name and I received opportunities because of that, there came a time in life when I stopped being a child and I had to become a man. There came a time when I had to stop living off of daddy's good name. And I had to make the right decisions and do what is right so that I would choose to have a good name for myself. A good name is rather to be chosen. It's a very interesting thing when you think about it as this, though. At the same time, though a good name takes perhaps a lifetime to make, it can take just a single day to destroy. It can just take one quick moment to quickly fade away. A good name is fragile. And I'll say this, loving favor is weak. Both of these could be lost in a moment. Haman, the king's counselor. Think about him. He was the king's counselor. He was his beloved assistant. I mean, he loved him. He watched after him. He did everything. And in just one quick moment, he fell out with the king. And name and favor were hanged on the gallows that were meant for Mordecai. In one fell swoop, Uzziah, who thought he was untouchable. I'll tell you what, he thought he was untouchable because he was of perhaps a certain age or a certain status, or because he had enough riches, or because he was the king. And he thought, man, nobody can touch me. And I'll tell you what, he became exactly right. Nobody could touch him because he became a leper. When he thought he could go into the temple and offer the incense there inside of the temple, and the priests ran him out, and when they saw that his body was covered with white as snow, as with leprous spots all over him, they put him into a house and he stayed there to the day of his death. Have you ever thought about this? Uzziah was the longest reigning king of Judah. He was a good king. He had a godly son even later on after him named Jotham. He had good lineage. He was a good man. And even the Bible tells us that one of the main prophets, Isaiah, looked up to him and loved him. And it was in the day that Uzziah died that Isaiah saw the Lord high and lifted up. But this grand king, this golden king, Uzziah, thought he could just do what he wanted to do. But immediately in one day became a leper. Loving favor and good name are so hard to get, yet so easy to lose. One author said it like this. He said, be very wary of your first comportments, your deportments. Get a good name. And after you get the good name, he says, be very tender of it afterwards, for it is like Venice glass, quickly cracked, never to be mended, though patched it may be. An old fable tells of when fame and favor met with fire and water. They were walking along a trail one day, and fire, water, and fame were walking beside each other. We might call it favor instead of fame. This was written in the 1600s. fire, water, and favor went traveling together, and they consulted if they lost one another, how they might be retrieved and meet again. Fire said, where you see smoke, you will find me. Water spoke up and said, where you see a marsh and low ground, you'll find me. And fame or favor spoke up and said, take heed how you lose me, for if you do, you will run the great hazard of never meeting me again. And how true it is. Once you lose favor, it's very difficult to find it again. Once a rug has been tarnished, it cannot be cleaned. More importantly, that is why the Bible says that the bishop, it says, must be blameless. The Bible doesn't say a lot of times. It does, sometimes it tells us to be blameless, or it tells us to be loving, or kind, but it says in this case he must be blameless. For a bishop must be blameless, and that's a frightful thing to me. You know what the word blameless means? It means nothing should stick to you. Nothing should stick to you. Must not have anything that sits to him, and a minister should not have such. But not only that, but we as children of God are also commanded that we should also be blameless. But it says in Philippians 2:15, it says that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. A good name is fragile, folks, and loving favor is very weak. And so it's very important that we maintain a good name, maintain a name of blamelessness, of Christ-centeredness, of love and appreciation, of gratitude. Because these things are seen, and I tell you, people know you by your name. When somebody says your name, there's always something that's associated with it. What's associated with our names? Is it truth? Is it honesty? Is it virtue? Is it praise? Is it lying or stealing or corruption? Is it crookedness or perverseness? 1 Timothy 5:7, Paul says this, and these things give in charge that they may be blameless. Wherefore, beloved, in 1 Peter, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. Oh, God would help us to just seek after a good name, but not only to seek after a good name and decide to have a good name, like as Daniel, but also that we would desire to maintain and to keep a good name. For I think the second to be harder even than the first. Number three, we see a good name before God. In fact, many times we may choose to have a good name. We still may be even very faithful in maintaining the good name that God has allowed us to have and maintaining the loving favor that we have been put into. But sometimes we are like Joseph in Potiphar's house. Though we have a good name and though we are faithful in maintaining that loving favor, yet there's always some wicked person out there trying to smudge and ruin our good names. And so a good name is rather to be chosen rather than great riches, and a loving favor rather than silver and gold. May I say it like this too, is that that's not just important in front of men, but more importantly than that, it is important that we maintain a good name and loving favor for the sake of the glory of God. For God's glory and for His praise and for His adoration, no matter what men may say of us or what people may put us down or say evil things about us, though we may be despised and rejected and hated by people, yet it is more important that we maintain a good name before God. It was even said of Jesus Christ in Luke 2:52, and Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with what? With God and with man. With God and with man. But even when he fell from the grace of the eyes of men, the Father said of him in Luke 3:22, as that is baptism, and the Holy Ghost descended in a bodily shape like of a dove upon him. And a voice came down from heaven which said, thou art my beloved Son, and thee am I well pleased. And then later on in his ministry at his transfiguration, when the Pharisees were already in rage about him in Matthew 17:5, it says, while he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, And behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. Our Lord showed to us a wonderful and marvelous example of how to maintain a good name even when you lose it in the sight of men. When they reject you and despise you. Yet whenever they reviled, he reviled not again. Whenever they cursed, he cursed not again, but rather he said those fateful words, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. We're known for our name, folks. We're known for our name. A good name is rather to be chosen than great riches and loving favor, rather than silver or gold. When somebody says your name, they know you. I say, oh, yes. And sometimes they may not even vocalize it. They may be very kind and not say anything about you, but in their minds, there's something there. It may be a very good thing, or it may be a very bitter thing. And we too, though, we have to be careful. We could lose our good names in the hearts of men, and we could lose the favor that we have worked so tediously to procure. Yet if we will maintain the integrity in the sight of God, it will be worth more than silver and gold, my friend. If our integrity is maintained before the Lord, if though people may mock us and people may put us down, just like Jesus said that would happen, and people may squash our name and put our name through the mud, yet if we know in our heart of hearts, if we know exactly what we have done and we have maintained a good name before God and have confessed Him before many witnesses, then I'll tell you right now that God is pleased. Much better to have a good name in the sight of God than in the sight of men. Much rather that we would please God than we would please men. Much rather that we would glorify God than rather to have honor and praise from men. How does this take place? Go over to the book of Hebrews, chapter number 11, verse number 2. It says for us in verses number 1 and 2 and 6 and 39, he tells us very plainly. If you know anything about Hebrews 11, you're already ahead of me. But Hebrews chapter number 11 in verse number 1 tells us how we maintain this particular name before the Lord. He says in verse number 1 now, he says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, for by it, listen to this, the elders obtained a good report. They obtained a good testimony. To who? To God. For it says in verse number 6, for without faith, but without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is the rewarder of a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. And then in verse number 39, to the end of the chapter, the Bible says, and these all have obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. These men were faithful. They were godly. They were good. And their names showed it out. And we know their names to this day, don't we not? Read through the account of Hebrews chapter number 11, and you'll know their names. Were these men perfect men? No, they were not in any way, shape, or form perfect men or women. But you read their names and their imperfections, or their perfections, you might say, outweigh much of their imperfections in the faith of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob and of Moses. And as it goes on all the way through David and Barak and Samson and Jephthah and Ruth and Rahab and many others that the Bible does not say. He says, for time would fail me to mention all of these people. But how does he do it? He does it by what? How does he tell us them? By name. By name. God is concerned with the name. Who did he call out to put on a boat, which we call an ark? Who did he put on there? Noah. You know his name. You know his name. God is concerned about our name. God even says that in the Word of God that He will give to us in that day a little white stone upon it, which is our name, which no other man knows. Isn't that very interesting? God is concerned about a good name. I don't know much about that little white stone. I don't know much about what will be. I don't know what my, I don't have to know, but I know this, that God's concerned. And if he's not so much concerned about our names in heaven, do you not think that he is concerned about how we treat our name here upon the earth? I think very much he is. And such faith for us demonstrates that having a good name and loving favor with both God and with men. I do not neglect to say that again, that with God and with men. I don't just throw men under the bus. God wants us to have a good name before men. But I must say it again, that if men were to mock us and to put us down because of our belief in God, then it is much better, a much greater lasting reward to maintain favor and a good name with God, which gives to us our eternal reward. A name that the Bible even says that is written down in heaven. In Luke chapter number 10 and verse number 20, the disciples came running back. They were rejoicing. They were excited because guess what? They were happy because the devils responded to them. They said, and we're able to heal people and help people. And when we speak, the devils are coming out of them. And he said, hey, rejoice not in this. Rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice in this, because your names are written in heaven. Your names are written down. Where? In the Lamb's Book of Life. In Revelation 21:27, it says, and there shall in no wise enter into anything that defileth, neither whatsoever abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Why is a good name rather to be chosen than great riches and loving favor rather than silver and gold? I'll tell you this, because for one humongous reason, silver and gold and great riches can never, ever at all put you a place in heaven. But I tell you what can. Loving favor. Loving favor. And I saved this verse to the end because I thought at first it to be a morbid thought, but the more I thought on it throughout the sermon, I figured it wasn't. In Ecclesiastes 7:1, he says, a good name is better than precious ointment, and the day of death than the day of one's birth. Such a thought doesn't even seem much morbid to me at all anymore. Because if you turn over to Philippians chapter number 1, he tells us something very interesting. A good name is better than a precious ointment. And the day of death is better than the day of one's birth. Why? Well, seeing that in the light of the New Testament gives me great hope. Because of this fact, the fact that when Paul says here in verse number 21, he says, for to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I wot not. I don't know what I would choose. If given the opportunity to die or to stay here, I don't know what I would choose, he says. For I'm in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. It's not there in the Bible, but I almost feel like there's a little sigh there. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. I want to go home. I want to be with God. I want to see Jesus so badly, he says. The day of my birth, the day of my death is better than the day of my birth because I've obtained loving favor with God. How? By the good works that I've done, by the good things that I've been, by the good person I've been, by whatsoever, by faith. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. He's obtained it by faith. And so that faith lets him see past life and it lets him see past the grave and lets him see past death and lets him see past all of that to eternal life and sees his name as the name of many others In the same book of Philippians that he speaks about, that are written down in the book of life. And he has eternal life with Christ as Lord. Yet, in this particular instance, for the Philippians and for others, he knows that he will live for a little bit longer. Because it is for their good and for their profit. These men of the Bible, these ladies of the Scriptures, teach us about the value of a good name. The treasure of a good name. A good name is rather to be chosen. It's a choice. It's a choice. And we also must remain faithful to that name. But mainly we must learn always to maintain a good and faithful name in the sight of God. And be like our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who grew in favor with God and with men. May God help us to value and see the treasure of a good name and loving favor. Father, we thank